نستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده وحبيبه وخاتم رسله. My brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. It is an honor for me to stand here before you to share with you knowledge and education that can benefit us first of all and benefit the people who we can approach. For Islam came not only for one individual or a certain type of people, it came for all of the people of the world. It even came to the jinns, a life form which is not created from soil but from fire. We cannot see them. But just to point out that Islam came to every being and not just the human being either. Therefore, it is a great honor for any Muslim to learn something about Islam and share it and pass it on to others. You are like a river that has many streams, and its streams go to many different lakes, from which many streams come out of, and they give their water to every land. From one person you can spread this teaching, and you will be a selfish person if you don't spread what you know. For a Muslim who is strong and has knowledge is much better than a Muslim who is weak and is ignorant. That's what Allah says in the Quran, and that's what the Prophet Muhammad says to us. Therefore, Islam is not a secret, it is for everyone. And what a beautiful religion we have that people misunderstand these days. And I believe that it is partly or mostly our fault as Muslims, because one of the reasons is that we are listening to them too much, and we are being convinced by what they say about our own religion. A lot of us are beginning to think even negative about our own religion and judging our religion without looking into it. And a lot of us, we're too embarrassed. We're too embarrassed to share our religion. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us encouraged. And a lot of us are ignorant about it. Wallahi, it is not only a religion but a way of life that pleases the eyes and pleases the hearts, pleases the ears, pleases the minds when people hear about it. They can be your greatest enemy, but when you teach them the right thing about Islam, you will find that their hearts begin to flutter and they say something like, that makes sense. They don't know what kind of sense they're talking about, but it makes sense to them somehow. We call it fitrah. So if you like, it makes fitrah sense. What it, the way that every person is born. The topic today is part of this fitrah, this sense that we use. Brothers and sisters in Islam, it is part of the evil nature of the human being to be judgmental. Do you all agree? Who doesn't agree with that? Please, since we all agree that it is part of the evil nature of the human being to be judgmental of others, we have to know the reasons why we are judgmental of others. And we have to understand whether all judgments are forbidden in Islam and are evil, or whether some judgments are evil and others are accepted. I put to you this. First of all, the topic behind me. Yes. The brothers were disputing whether they should have a question mark at the end of it or not, because I requested to place a question mark at the end. So they went into a debate. Should we place it, should we not? I'm revealing now, exposing them. And they said that the topic made you confused. And that was my aim. My aim was to make some people a little bit confused, so they can come here and find out, what is this person on about? Why is this vocabulary all of a sudden changed? Does he know his grammar properly? You see, who knows Tupac? Heard of Tupac? Come on, put your hand up, now's the time to get you. Tupac, a famous, a rapper? Good. So he's a rapper, and he used to have on his, tattooed on his chest, is it, or on his back, this same statement, only God can judge me. Isn't that right? Yeah? Correct me, brother, because I don't know. Okay, I'm right. So I used to have it tattooed, only God can judge me. From his point of view, what he means is that no judge can judge him, no one can put any sentence against him. He can do forbidden things, he can do bad things, but no one can judge him. You can kill someone, no one can judge you. You can do all these bad things, no one can judge you, only God can judge me. From his point of view, it's wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ultimate judge, correct? Because he is the one who knows what we think, and he is the only one that knows what we believe in inside of our hearts. Nobody, no one can tell you what's inside your heart except yourself and Allah, who is even closer to you than your own jugular vein. He knows what whispers inside your thoughts, even in your subconscious mind. Allah says in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. We have created the human being. And we know what whispers inside of his conscience. And we are closer to him or her than their own jugular vein. Meaning Allah is aware and knowledgeable about yourself, even more, metaphorically speaking, closer than what your own vein is attached to your neck. Therefore, who has the right to look inside of other people's hearts and minds and judge them? If you are judging people thinking that you know, or I know that somebody, what they're thinking or what they're feeling, or what their intention is, I am making shirk. And shirk means making partners with Allah. That Allah, if I believe that Allah knows all the unseen, how can I claim to know the unseen? I've made myself a partner to Allah, walayyadu billah. Therefore, it's shirk to believe that you can tell what's inside of a person and say, I know their intent, I know their thinking. Nobody knows it. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the insides of a person. And do you know what causes us to begin to judge others wrongly? Can anyone tell me? Yes, sister. We're insecure in ourselves, that's one thing, yes. So we probably have judged ourselves. And when we found that we're not perfect, we need to judge others, because it's like the shaitan, you see, Iblis, la'natullahi alayhi. When he had pride, didn't prostrate to Adam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him, Allah called him an outcast. And you know what? Iblis said, I'm going to lead astray all of his children. I'm going to make him come into hellfire with me. Why? Because he doesn't want to go to hellfire alone. He wants to share it with other people. And when you feel insecure about yourselves, good answer. You want to feel and know that other people are also inadequate like you. They're also insecure. Even if they're not, you want to put it against them. And this is wallahi evil and haram. That's slander. Does anyone else know what are the main causes of a person begin to judge other people? There is a more defined reason, a more direct reason.
It could be a lack of iman.
Of course, sure, brother. Lack of iman, lack of faith, lack of fearing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does cause you to judge other people. But what is the human, like whether you are a mu'min or not, what is the human reason, the natural reason that leads people to judge other people? Okay, we have two answers. One more answer, inshallah, and I'll give the answer.
Jealousy?
Close. You are close, but jealousy is an element. But to be more precise, brother, it's suspicion. Suspicion. You suspect people. You assume. From the assumption, judgment develops. Isn't that right? If a person doesn't keep the assumption in their mind, they begin to judge, and they talk about it, they judge, and then a rumor develops about this person, and then people begin to judge them, and then when they go to get married, no one gives them their daughter or their son because they're judged wrongly. Rumors go, they're stereotyped based on a mere suspicion by somebody. Now I have to say that suspicion is a natural thing of the human being. For example, if we all left this room right now and my mobile was left here on this desk, And we knew that there was only one more person left in the room before we all came back in. We found the mobile missing. It's natural to suspect that one person that was in the room last, isn't that right? It's natural. Can I still judge them? No, I can't. Why? I haven't seen them. I don't have clear evidence. Isn't that correct? I do not have clear evidence. And this is the key of my question. You are not allowed to judge anyone based on mere suspicion. And you are not allowed to suspect anyone until you have absolute clear evidence about it. Therefore, judging another person is sometimes allowed, but only in one case, when there is enough evidence. There are conditions, however. Now you might be thinking, well, now I can judge other people so long as I've got evidence. I'm going to go left, right and center, and I'm going to pick every person, judge them so long as I have the proper evidence for them. And then people are probably going to go around to people who they have grudge on or hate, and they're going to try and, you know, spy on them and try to find the correct evidence, like federal police officers do. Investigators. Just to make them look bad, and then they're going to judge them and they're going to say, Brother Bilal told us that it's halal so long as we have proper evidence. This is wrong. This is also evil, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also closed all the other doors by saying, do not spy on one another. That's in the Quran. وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. Do not spy. And the Prophet ﷺ said, وَلَا تَحَسَّسُوا. تَحَسَّسُوا is a little bit different than spying. تَحَسَّسُوا means to inquire in depth in order to reach your intent. To inquire. Did you hear what he says? Have you heard of this? Can you tell me? Investigation. Do not investigate, in other words, to find out the fault of another person. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ عَلَيْكُمْ بِأَنفُسِكُمْ لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ مَنْ ضَلَّ إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ. O people, you are to be concerned with yourself. No one can harm you if you are guided and they're not. Thirdly, there is another condition. Not everyone can just judge, even though it's halal in Islam with great evidence. It's the person in authority, a person who either is a judge or a person who is in authority to take out rights, to give rights to other people, and therefore they need to gather evidence and then make a judgment upon them to know who's right and who's wrong and for the rights of other people. So judges, people in authority, and people that it concerns them directly, and there is harm going to evolve out of it or result out of it. You don't just go around looking to judge other people, because this is haram in Islam, as the Prophet ﷺ indicates to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also talks about the unity of the Muslims so much to encourage us away from judgment, from judging others, away from assumptions, away from suspicion, by saying, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن إن بعض الظن إثم ولا تجسسوا ولا يغتب بعضكم بعضا أيحب أحدكم أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا فكرهتموه. Which means, O you who believe, avoid much suspicion, for verily some suspicions are very evil. And do not spy on one another, and do not backbite one another, and slander one another, and make rumors about one another, or gossip about one another. Does one of you like to eat the flesh of their brother? Allah says, obviously not. None of you would like to eat the flesh of their brother alive or dead. So fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of these are leading avenues to wrong judgments about people. It is very, wallahi, it's shocking and it's sad that amongst our Muslim ummah there are people who love to make judgments against others, especially without clear evidence. Especially without clear evidence. And the motives, either they hate them or they're jealous of them, these are motives, or they held a grudge against them, or they want to get a revenge, so they seize the moment and they use the opportunity, or it's a competition, they want to look better than the other people and ruin their image so their image can climb on top of theirs, which is also pride and arrogance. And this is one of the major sins in Islam, and also shirk as well, to have pride and arrogance, look down upon others and think you are better, and reject the truth when it comes to you. These are all motives. Wallahi, why do people judge others? If you're not in authority or it doesn't concern you and you want to involve yourself in these things, you know, a lot of people in our community, men and women, I know a lot of men, they say women do that a lot. But really, I see it the same way these days. A lot of the men, a lot of the women, it's the entertainment. To hear some gossip or rumor about someone, what's the latest gossip about so and so, especially when they are known in the community or well recognized or knowledgeable or religious. Because as my sister said, people who feel insecure about themselves or feel that they are not religious enough or their conscience is picking away at them and not proud about themselves, they want to feel and know that there are other people who are like them, so they feel bitter about themselves. And that's why people love to hear and spread, especially amongst families and relatives. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concentrates on that, especially amongst family and relatives. There's great competition amongst them. Isn't that right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advises us and commands us towards one another that we should always try to do what? Try to be positive about one another. Try to transform and interpret each other's words that seem negative, look positive. We don't see that in our community, unfortunately, unless you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A brother says something, or a sister says something, alaykum as-salam, it sounds negative. Maybe they didn't intend for it to be negative. So what do? Instead of judging them, or going silent and then backbiting them afterwards, we should try and interpret their saying, their word, into something positive. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he used to say, never think ill of the word that comes out of your believing brother's mouth. Never think ill, never think bad about the word that comes out of your brother's mouth or your sister's mouth, as long as you can find a good excuse for them. See how wonderful that is? Beautiful Islam. Always try to find an excuse for your brothers or sisters rather than judging them. Even if what they said was wrong, even if what they said was intended to be wrong, Allah did not make you a judge over them or a police over them. You are not in that position. In this situation, judgment is wrong in Islam. Because that person, you don't know what their intention was. And there is no harm to other people, meaning they are not taking the rights of other people so that you may be a judge and now begin to practice what we call in Islamic Sharia, hudud, the rights of other people and who's going to get whipped and who's not. Rather, try to interpret their word into something good and find an excuse for them. That way, you will teach that person that what they said was wrong and they will learn a lesson from you. And if they intended well, then that person will love you even more. And Allah will lift you many levels in His eyes. And you will be considered an honorable person so long as you keep doing that. And people will love you because Allah will begin to love you. And Allah, Prophet ﷺ said, whoever, man satara ala akhihi aiban fi dunya, whoever covers up a bad fault of their brother or sister in this world, satara Allahu anhu ithman yawm al-qiyamah, or kama qala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hide a sin of theirs on the day of judgment and will not reveal it to everyone. He will tell him, come closer, my servant. On the day of judgment, he will say, come closer, until there is a veil between him and Allah, and no one else can see, and he is covered with Allah's light. Not even the angels can hear, and there are no interpreters or translators between you and Allah. And then Allah says to you, between you and him, without a translator, do you remember when you did such a sin? And he will say, yes, ya Rabb, do you not forgive it for me? And Allah will say, I kept it a secret in the former life, and you guarded the secret of your brother, and today I will guard your secret. It's wiped out of the records. No one will know, not even the angels. It remains a secret between you and Allah. Just by covering up a secret of your brother or sister in Islam. The main objective of our Islam is to guard our community, to protect our community, to lift our community, to make our community look noble, and to advise each other and stop each other from oppression towards one another, so that our community can rise and we look like a unit, an ummah, which everyone can copy and imitate. like it was before. Unfortunately, we are not like that anymore. We have become the people who eat each other's flesh, and we're happy about it, and we entertain ourselves with it. Islam concentrates so much about the preservation of the reputation of the Islamic community. So much so that, listen to this, I'm going to freak out about this probably if you don't know it, about the law of the adulterer. Ever heard of it? You know, when in Islam there are some words in there are some laws in Sharia that when there is a law in Sharia that when a person is married and they commit adultery, they are to be stoned to death. And another law is that if they are not married and they commit fornication, then they are to be whipped 100 lashes, male or female. This seems gruesome to some people. However, when I explain it to you, you'll find out that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually wants the protection and preservation of the community rather than the killing and bloodshed. Listen to this. In order for a person, a woman or a man who has committed adultery while being married, to be stoned to death and judged upon, because this is called a hukum, you have to go in front of the judge, and the judge has to make this judgment. Not anyone just out of the audience or out of the people. The judge has to be in a court, in an Islamic court, which we don't have here. If we did, it'll be in front of Islamic court. And you need 4 witnesses that actually, 4 witnesses that are well known to the community, that are known to be pious people and honest, and that have seen the actual intercourse with their own eyes, each one of them, with their own eyes, and not just man and woman on top of each other, excuse me for saying that, but the actual organ having contact with the other organ, inserted into the other organ. That's how detailed it is. What are the possibilities, brothers and sisters, of 4 noble people from amongst the community that are religious, and would have seen each one of them with their own eye, the actual insertion? What are the possibilities of that? It's not zero. There are some possibilities, but it's 1 in a million maybe. And look at this now, or hear this. If one of these men, who are witnesses, was found to have doubt about what they saw, 4 of them get whipped 80 lashes. Did you know that? If one of them has doubt, or was lying, 4 of them, even ones who told the truth, get whipped 80 lashes each. The reason? Reputation of the Ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want something like this to go out. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to guard each other's sins. And rather than exposing it and coming to a court and showing everyone else, go to one another and advise one another. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ad-deen an-nasiha." Do you want to know what religion is? What is deen? What is religion? Religion is advising one another, counseling one another. That's what deen is. So if anyone wants to ask, what is deen? It's not just prayer and fasting and all of that. Some people who pray and fast go to hellfire because they lack a lot of other things which are important as well. But ad-deen al-nasiha, religion is counseling one another, advising one another. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. By the time, verily man is in loss, except those who believe and do good deeds, and advise and counsel one another to speak the truth, and advise and counsel one another to be patient. Counseling and advice. There are some people who are so quick at judging others with terrible, terrible attributions. And one of the latest, and I don't like to expose our dirty laundry in front of everyone, but I see that most of us here are Muslim, alhamdulillah. Sometimes we need to talk about the symptoms and the diseases in order to understand the remedies. We find that some Muslims these days, they are quick to judge their other brothers or sisters with either corruption in their religion, like to say they are bad Muslims, they are corrupt Muslims, fussar, or to say they are kuffar, disbelievers, by a single act or a single word that comes out of their mouth. My brothers and sisters, you may see a sister, for example, who is a Muslimah that doesn't wear the hijab. Based on that evidence, yes, obviously it's natural to conclude that this sister is not practicing one element or one commandment of Islam, and that is not wearing hijab. So the modesty of her clothing is not complete. One, this is what goes through the mind naturally, and I say this because we need to speak the truth towards one another. My brother may see another Muslim person with a shaved beard and might think to himself, well, you know, this is a sign of this person actually not completing his religion as the Prophet ﷺ used to be, because I know the Prophet ﷺ used to grow his beard, and this person, he knows that it should be, or at least it's an obligation, or at least it's a highly recommended sunnah. I don't say that, I say it's an obligation, by the way. But for those who even think that it's probably only a sunnah, even that, it's natural for a person to make an assumption. The wrong thing, however, this is natural, the wrong thing is to expose this person as a bad person. To say, just because she doesn't wear the hijab, or he doesn't grow his beard, or he missed a prayer, or she missed a prayer, for example, I expose them to everyone, and I make a judgment and say, they're bad people, don't marry them, don't go near them. Therefore, start based on one or two bad characteristics I saw of them. My dear brother or sister, have you forgotten yourself? You may be doing a secret sin that is more grievous than theirs. Maybe. Could be. Maybe you are better. But if you are better, a Muslim does not expose another person with their judgments. Because you are only ruining the da'wah, not making it better. The wrong thing is to judge the whole character based on one negative character. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He speaks about the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians, in the Fatiha, He says, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ. الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ, the ones whom Allah's anger is bestowed upon, they are the Jews. Allah is angry with them forever, until they repent. وَلَا الضَّالِينَ, and those who are astray, they are the Christians. They're astray, they're lost from the right path of their prophets. Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, and He talks about the Jews as having certain characteristics, bad characteristics, in other verses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises some of their good characteristics. Didn't forget it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, says, وَمِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ مَنْ إِنْ تَأْمَنْهُ بِقِنْطَارٍ يُؤَدِّهِ إِلَيْكَ. And there are people from amongst the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians, that if you were to entrust them with a camel load of gold or wealth, they will be loyal to that. They will give it back to you to the last coin, to the last cent. Even if you let them go for years, they'll give it back to you. They are so trustworthy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says these good qualities in them. Therefore, we are not allowed to make a general judgment about somebody as being fasiq or kafir or a bad Muslim because of one or two things that we've seen of them. Rather, a Muslim goes up to the person and advises them, gifts them with a book or a pamphlet, writes a letter to them, talks to the friend of theirs to talk to them, right? Shows them a good character, for example. Not directly talks to them, but shows them how a Muslim really is. Takes them to a lecture, invites them to something. It doesn't have to be, you know, direct talk. Rather than just judging. Did the Prophet ﷺ just judge? No. There was a companion who used to drink alcohol at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. He was an alcoholic. Yes. A companion at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, he used to be an alcoholic. And that's a major sin, of course. However, it's a major sin that one does against himself. So, every time he drank alcohol, he was brought in front of the court, and he was to be whipped. The whips, obviously, and knows a whip, when a Muslim whips another, it's not to bleed or to cause injury. It's in order to teach a lesson and humiliate in front of others to help them not return back to that bad act. So they're whipping him, and one of the companions, Prophet ﷺ, heard him say some bad words about him. What a terrible person he is. Whatever person he is. What a ridiculous person he is. Saying bad words. That the Prophet ﷺ turned and said, don't say these things. Do not say these things. Wallahi, by Allah, I know that he loves Allah and his messenger a lot. Don't say all these things and make all these judgments. He still loves Allah and His Messenger, and I know that. Yes, that act is bad. Shun the act. Talk about the act. But don't judge the person overall. We have that problem. See one or two bad characters, oh, this is a bad person, stay away from... No, advise them. Try to reel them into Islam, into the proper way. Take them aside and don't advise them in front of other people. And Allah, the Prophet ﷺ said, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. Judge yourselves before you begin to judge others. Like the companions, like Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, again, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu majma'in. They used to have a diary which they used to write all their acts of the day. In the night they'd sit and review. What have they done that pleases Allah? What have they not done that... What have they done to, that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And they would cry all night for two or three sins which they had done in the day. Until even Umar al-Khattab used to cry so loud, he was the loudest. So the neighbors used to gather around him. Ma yubkika ya Umar rahimahullah. What used to make you cry? And he would say to them, I wish the mother of Umar never gave birth to him. Because he used to judge himself. Yes, it's a bit funny, but Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu used to cry about it until there were marks on his cheeks from the amount of tears. There was a man also at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what happened. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was distributing some leather bags that had value to some companions of his. And in one of the companions, he felt a bit greedy. Now when I say companions, obviously we're talking about a time when Islam was still new to them. But we love all the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. He said, O Messenger of Allah, fear Allah. Meaning, fear Allah and how you distribute them and give everyone their correct portion. Obviously, you can't say that to the Messenger ﷺ, because you should already know that Allah said that the Prophet ﷺ is on the best and most miraculous character, and he is the Quran that walks. So the Prophet ﷺ said, woe to you! Do I not deserve most to fear Allah among the people of the earth? But if you don't believe that Muhammad ﷺ is the most God-fearing, then your religion is lacking. Then the man went. Upon this, Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu anhu, and we know Khalid ibn al-Walid, he was also a fierce man like Umar ibn al-Khattab and very big. He said, O Messenger of Allah, should I not strike his neck? Let me kill him. How can he say that to you? So Prophet ﷺ said to him, perhaps he may be observing prayer. Like that, don't just kill him because he said that to me. Maybe he is observing prayer and this was a mistake from his. Prophet ﷺ is to always like to teach the people when they make a mistake. Then Khalid radiallahu anhu replied back, how many observers of prayer are there who profess with their tongue what is not really in their hearts? It might look like he's praying, but I didn't know what's in his heart. I did say that to you. The Prophet ﷺ became a bit angry at that, and he wanted to teach Khalid ibn Walid something, and he said to him, I have not been commanded to pierce through the hearts of people nor to split their bellies inside. Meaning, I've not been commanded to go and search inside of their minds, inside of their intentions, to know whether their words are correct or not, whether they mean them or not. So if the Prophet ﷺ couldn't do that, how can we do that? Yes, you can judge based upon evidence, but as we said, you should be in authority and it means you directly. For example, this brother asked me one time that... This brother asked me one time that a person came to ask for his sister's hand in marriage. And this particular brother, he did something that was un-Islamic. He did something that was un-Islamic in front of them. So he was asking, he said, I made a judgment against him and said, you are not to marry this person because he's a bad person. I said to him, brother, this type of a judgment is wrong. Maybe that person didn't know. Maybe that person was embarrassed or put on the spot. Maybe he usually doesn't do that and you saw him for the first time. Yes, you can judge that act that you saw in him, but you cannot judge him as a whole, as a person. Like what the Prophet ﷺ said. Maybe he observes prayer, don't cut his neck off. Maybe his heart is different. I don't look into the hearts. So the brother went back to find out that this person actually, he knew that it was haram, however he was put on the spot and he was nervous. He was nervous and his hand did come out and, you know, do something which was, it's a minor sin, yeah. It's nothing major, minor, which anyone can do really. So now the brother found out he was actually a person who prays and fasts and avoids the major sins, but subhanAllah. These are one of the detrimental effects in our community. It can ruin people's image, ruin people's reputation, stop people from getting married to the good people, and so on and so forth. Don't be judgmental, my dear brothers and sisters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, O you who believe, when you go to fight in the cause of Allah, talking about fighting, verily, and say not to, in the cause of Allah, say not to anyone who greets you by embracing Islam, you are not a believer. Anyone who says to you, I am a Muslim, don't say to them, you are not a believer. Seeking the perishable goods of the worldly life. There are much more prophets and booties with Allah, even as he is now. Meaning, if you see a person who is corrupt, looks like a bad person, seems like he's an enemy, and says to you, brother, I am a Muslim, assalamu alaikum, salam, I believe in Allah and his messenger, Allah is saying to you, even as he is now, even as you see him now, so were you yourselves before. Remember yourselves how you were till Allah conferred on you his favors, until he blessed you with this religion. And a lot of the brothers and some brothers or sisters, when they become religious, alhamdulillah, they want to go and convert their whole family. They want to make the whole family religious in one night or a week. And then they say, if you don't do this, I'm out of the house and whatever, and they cause a big havoc. And they forget that for the last 20 or 25 years of their lives, they were corrupt and no one can even talk to them about Islam or whatever. And they become judgmental. How many of them have I heard with these terrible, terrible judgments, making judgments against others? And I finally end it with this hadith. Prophet ﷺ tells us about, actually two hadith. A particular companion in a battle, he was fighting the enemy. When the enemy came to strike him with his sword, this particular companion managed to get the sword out of the other person's hand and it fell on the ground. The person was now weak, and so he, out of fear, you could tell that on the outside of his face he looked like he was very scared, so he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah. But the companion went ahead and killed him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not accept his forgiveness, and he said to him, أَشَقَقْتَ عَنْ قَلْبِهِ. Did you open up his heart and look inside of it to know whether he meant it or not? Because he said to him, Ya Rasulullah, he said it out of fear, he was just afraid, he was scared. Even though all the obvious indications were there, the Prophet ﷺ said, no. Did you open up his heart? Belief is of the heart. Did you open up his heart? We are to judge on the outside of a person. And judgments have conditions and boundaries. Prophet wouldn't forgive him. I don't know what happened to that particular companion later on. However, a man came, Prophet tells us about a man who began to give da'wah and advice to another person to repent and to become a better Muslim. That second person would never accept, and he kept on rejecting and rejecting. Finally, the person who was meant to be pious, he said to him after a long time, after months of da'wah, after months of reminding, he said to him, you are a person who does not deserve Jannah. Or he said to him, Allah will never forgive you. You don't deserve forgiveness. He passed the judgment, which belongs only to Allah. On a day of judgment, Allah raises them and he says, where is that person? أَيْنَ هَذَا الَّذِي يَتَأَلَّى عَلَيْهِ. Where is that person who tried to make one of my qualities his own qualities? Where is that person who tried to make himself a god, to say, I'm not going to forgive him, I'm not going to put him in a... So they brought him, the angels, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him on the day of judgment, مَا الَّذِي قَالَ لَكَ أَنِي لَا أَغْفِرُ لَهُ. Who is the one who told you I will not forgive him? Take this person who made the judgment to hellfire, and take the other to Jannah. I have forgiven him. Because this person made shirk by judging. See, some judgments are not shirk and others are, especially the ones that involve only Allah and deep intentions. Allah will never forgive you. You're not going to Jannah. I've given you da'wah for years and you still don't listen. You don't deserve to be forgiven. The other day a brother spoke to me about another person, how bad and corrupt he was. So I said, make dua for him, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide him. He goes, wallah, he doesn't deserve guidance. I don't want to make it. I don't want to make this dua for him to deserve guidance. Why should he get the good of Jannah? I said, brother, Allah, you're not created to be a judge upon the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides. The moral of what I was speaking to you about today, brothers and sisters, and I hope that inshallah you got the picture. I don't like to make my public speeches a detailed educational session, because then it becomes boring. So that's why we try to send the moral and the message, and for you to send it on. Judging other people can be one of the most evil ways of the shaitan, and the most detrimental break up of the community, families and relatives. Beware of your suspicions. Prophet ﷺ said, for verily most suspicions are the most evil, the greatest doors to evil. So Prophet ﷺ said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالظَّنْ فَإِنَّ الظَّنَّ أَكْذَبُ الْحَدِيثِ. Beware of suspicion, for verily suspicion is the most evil of conversations, and the greatest doors to rumors and corruption. Judge only when you have to, if you are in charge, if you have been given that position. If you are not, then advise and approach with the best character and the best manners. And remember yourself before you look at others, for you may be in a terrible and a worse situation than theirs, and rather judge yourself and fix yourself up before you fix others. Allah says in the Quran, يا أيها الذين آمنوا لما تقولون ما لا تفعلون كبر مقتا عند الله أن تقولوا ما لا تفعلون. O you who believe, why do you say that which you yourselves do not do? It is a great deal to Allah that you say things, advise others of things that you yourselves do not try to do yourselves. Meaning you just want to tell people to do them, but you yourself, you don't care if you do them or not, as if it's not important to you. That's what it means. It doesn't mean that if you don't do it, you can't advise others. It means that if you don't try to fix yourself up, try, do something about it, then how can you try and fix other people? They'll go to heaven, you go to hell. I hope, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we benefited something from this tonight. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to create a strong unity between us, and to strengthen our community, and to make our I seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from laziness and from bad actions. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for our bad judgments. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us those who are soft towards one another and forgiving to one another, and to increase us in knowledge. Jazakum Allah khair. I'll see you inshallah the questions and answers.
Assalamu alaikum. Just everyone that has a question, pass it over to this side and I'll come up and collect them. So once you've written it, just pass over to the people on the end and I'll grab it off them inshallah. And Bilal, you can have a little rest and answer the questions when he's ready. Thank you. Okay, you have your little time to chat and everything now. Bilal, just after Bilal answers all the questions, we're going to go pray Maghrib inshallah. There's lots of brothers and sisters here who go to the uni, so just grab onto one of them and I'll take you down to the prayer room inshallah. As well, we have some soft drinks outside, so we weren't able to separate them for the brothers and sisters, so the brothers will grab some, then we'll take them down to the prayer room and the sisters can grab some there inshallah. As well, after we pray Maghrib, we're going to have some sweets. So I'm going to have some sweets in the sister's room and some sweets in the brother's room, and we can all eat some of them inshallah. Jazakallah khair. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه أجمعين. We'll try to get through these questions inshallah quickly and efficiently. The first question I have here: if you are with three people who witness an act of zina and you need one more witness under Sharia to prove the act, should you call upon another witness even though you will be causing them to look at something haram? Don't do chick chick, brothers, come on. It's alright, this question, it's a good question inshallah. The answer is no. You do not call upon another person to come and look at the act. Remember, I'll remind you of what I said in the talk. The moral of the whipping or the punishment or exposing or the four witnesses is not so that they can be exposed. It's not so that people can be whipped and stoned. It's not the reason why. It's quite the opposite. You see, it's out of the nature of the human being and the evil nature of the human being to want to expose other people. So instead of having one person or two people spreading a rumor, Islam made it more difficult, almost impossible, for the people to expose another person, even if it's true. It's strange, sometimes certain people understand it correctly and other people misunderstand it. Allah SWT put that law in order to safeguard this rumor, to safeguard the reputation of the person.